Welcome to the Words of Life program. We are brought to you by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers. Did you ever think about the image of anything that's invisible? In Colossians 1:15 through 20, Paul said about Jesus, "He is the image of invisible God." Brother David Johnson will tell us about this image in his sermon today on this Words of Life broadcast. First, we worship our Lord with song.
Thank you.
Please pray with me. Lord, talking to you, our Heavenly Father, through Jesus is always a great blessing. Please use the words of this program so that all that is said will bless and challenge our listeners. Be with each one who is working to uphold your holy name, including works of faith and local congregations. We know from the study of your word that Jesus is going to call us to be with him at your appointed time. We want to be ready for this great event. And thank you for listening to our prayer today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Based on Colossians chapter 1, 15 through 20, Brother David Johnson will speak to us on the topic, He is the Image of the Invisible God.
Thank you for listening to these Words of Life radio broadcasts wherever you are. We're so thankful that you, dear listener, are tuned in to the Word of God. The title for the lesson is, He is the Image of the Invisible God. And our text is taken from the New Testament, Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. Please listen to the Word of God. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. What a glorious passage regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is primarily about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament records the preparation for his coming. The Gospels present him as God in human flesh, who came into the world to save sinners. God only saves sinners. He doesn't save the self-righteous. Only the righteousness imputed, credited to us through faith in Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. The book of Acts lays out the message of salvation in Christ as it spreads throughout the then known world. The epistles detail the doctrine of Christ's personhood and work through his church. Finally, the book of Revelation presents Christ on his throne, reigning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, his throne on earth. According to many biblical scholars, of all the Bible's teachings of Christ, none is more significant than the magnificent portrayal of Christ in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 19. This powerful passage should remove any needless doubt or confusion over Christ's true identity. Fully understanding this passage will help Christians to witness for Christ, who is the Lord. So let's get to our text. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Christ does not bear the image in the same way that mankind bears the image of God. Man is made in the image of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, which states, Make man in our image, in our likeness. In that mankind is similar to God in some ways. For example, mankind has intellect, is able to reason and be creative. Mankind has a spirit. God is spirit. But notice Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. Notice it closely. It does not say Christ is made in the image of God. Rather, it states Christ is the image of the invisible God. Meaning, of course, that Jesus Christ actually is the image of God. He is the visible image of God in human form. While God is invisible, He is manifested visibly in the incarnation, which means made flesh, as Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, or Jesus the Christ, is God in a body. He is the perfect picture, image of God. For centuries, the phrase firstborn over all creation regarding Jesus Christ has been misunderstood, creating doctrinal heresies, falsehoods, false teachings. Some understand firstborn to mean that Jesus Christ was the first created being. Therefore, they conclude he is not eternal, not God. The context of our passage itself explodes, destroys these false beliefs. Listen carefully. Verse 16. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. If Christ, the Son of God, created all things, then he is creator, and therefore he cannot be part of creation. He's not a creature. Furthermore, the next verse emphasizes Christ as creator. Verse 17, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Before all things obviously means Christ as the Son of God. Christ means the Anointed One. It's a title. But as the Son of God, he is pre-existent. He is eternal. As creator, as pre-existent, then he is not a created being. He is not a creature. He is God, as the Son of God, the unique, one and only Son of God. Moreover, his Godhood is affirmed in that in him all things hold together. Meaning, not only did he create everything, the universe, he also continues to sustain the universe. All things, in him, all things hold together. As God, and only God can do this, as God, he maintains, he holds together the delicate balance necessary to life's existence as we know it. He is the power holder behind every consistency in the universe. We today can be totally thankful for the corresponding truth regarding Christ in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. The Son, S-O-N, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Therefore, Jesus Christ must be God. He existed before and outside everything. He created everything, and he preserves everything. Therefore, firstborn in the context of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, which is another definition of firstborn, indicates preeminence, priority, and supremacy in rank, which, yes, is a secondary meaning of this word, firstborn, but it is used this way especially in Scripture regarding Jesus Christ. For example, in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, it states, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead." Obviously, Jesus Christ is not the firstborn chronologically from the dead, but he is the firstborn preeminently from the dead. Christ's superlative preeminence is further confirmed in context by the very next verse of our main text, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. It should be clear that the teaching goal, the thrust of our study passage is to repeatedly demonstrate that Christ is to have superiority in all things, sovereignty in all things. Why? Because he is God. He is to take first place. He is to take preeminence, priority in all realms. It says, in everything. As the golden voice and pen of the 3rd century AD preacher Chrysostom wrote of Christ, quote, "For everywhere he is first, above first, in the church first, for he is the head, in the resurrection first," end of quote. That is, never to die again, first. Christ reigns supreme over all seen and unseen. Thereby God his Father adds his accolade. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19. "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him." That is, in his incarnation. Jesus Christ has a dual nature. He is God in bodily form, and he, at a certain point in time and space, he became flesh, flesh and blood. He became human in order to become our substitute on the cross to die for the sin of the world, and was raised in vindication and validation of God the Father's acceptance and approval of his perfect work on the cross to cover our sin. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the total embodiment of all God's attributes. Christ is not only the chief manifestation of the divine being, he exhausts all that is deity. In Colossians chapter 1 and verses 15 through 19 is revealed the loftiest grandeur that is Jesus Christ. The next verse summarizes why this is of utmost importance to all who receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. "And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Through saving faith, Christ provides the all-important reconciliation with God. To be reconciled means the removal, in this case, of all hostility because of sin, and the restoring of peace to all who have been enemies of God due to disobedience, due to sin. Sin separates. The Savior, through faith in him, brings us back as family, not enemies, as sons and daughters of the living God through saving faith. And, of course, by the grace of God. In the New Testament, peace with God is not only the absence of hostility, but also includes the presence of a relationship, a personal relationship. Believers' position toward God radically changes from enemies to family of God through the blood of Jesus on the cross applied to believers' sin. The cumulative sin of believers as we remain in Christ. In fact, God's ultimate plan for the entire universe is to reconcile all things to himself. This he accomplishes through Jesus Christ. Such is the predominance of Jesus Christ as Redeemer and Reconciler, because he is Lord over all. In his book entitled The Joyful Christian, C.S. Lewis, defender, apologist of the faith, writes, quote, "We may note in passing that Jesus was never regarded as a mere moral teacher. He did not produce that effect on any of the people who actually met him. He produced mainly three aspects: hatred, terror, or adoration. There was no trace of people expressing mild approval, end quote. Think about it. Mild approval could be what you give a book you just read, or a movie you just watched, or a restaurant you just ate at. Mild approval is good, but it's not a rave review. Mild approval is nothing to get really excited about. It's casual. It's restrained. It should be impossible to give Jesus Christ just mild approval when you really understand what is revealed of him in the Bible. Yes, Jesus Christ can be rejected, can be ignored, or adored, but not mildly approved of. Jesus is revealed as Creator, Redeemer, Reconciler, and Judge. You just can't honestly be casual about all of that. The Apostle Paul, in his Colossians letter, writes that Jesus has the right of absolute authority because of who he is and what he has done and continues to do. If we truly believe all of this, then Jesus mandates preeminence, first place in everything, not just mere influence in our lives. Jesus is Savior, whose death and resurrection rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God, the sphere of salvation, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. So we should worship him. But mild approval? Never. Live it, share it. Jesus is Lord.
Yeah.
Brother Johnson shared with us an important lesson from God's Word. We pray that you know Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. If we can help you by answering questions about this week's sermon, please write to us. You may have a free CD of this and last week's program by asking for broadcast 2346. That's 2346. We look forward to hearing from you. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.